by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass makes heaven the middle of it. Grass makes heaven the middle. We are grass makes heaven.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got a hellacious week going on this week. We've got the on again, off again. North Korean summit is back on in Singapore. And I think it's scheduled for about June the 12th out there. But, Trump canceled it last week, and then now it's come back on. So hopefully they'll be able to make peace out there with North Korea. And it's moving towards resolution, hopefully. And we just got a denuclearized North Korea, that's for sure. I'm going to play something here. Laura Loomer had been reporting way back in October on the Las Vegas massacre, and certain information has been withheld out there from the public. But what's being released now is in Paddock's room up there in the Mandalay Bay were three women. Now the names are redacted and so forth, and this is getting to be really downright outrageous. Held from the public. But anyway, listen to this interview Laura Loomer had with Alex just recently. I think it was this week. Listen to this carefully. See what you think.
Another piece of information that I had released was that the night of the shooting, there was a detective on dispatch in the dispatch LVMPD logs that said that Mary Lou Danley had a follower on Facebook who was tied to her daughter, who was posting Islamic State propaganda and videos of ISIS beheadings in Arabic, right? And as you know, I and a few others, along with Shepard and Bellis of IntelliHub, we were the first to report that Mary Lou Danley deleted her Facebook page the night of the Las Vegas shooting. But the mainstream media, because they just want to ignore the truth, they reported the same information in January when police documents that were released by court order came out and showed it. So people would be wise to just listen to people like me and you and the independent media, because we're months ahead of the news.
Joining us a little bit in the next hour, then Lionel joins us, a top legal analyst, is Laura Loomer, really an amazing, intrepid investigative journalist. She also gets in there and asks the hard questions. And she has been off and on spending a lot of time in Las Vegas, really burrowing in. And so much of what broke there came from her, was corroborated by her. So I think it's best to just let her get into it right away. But remember Vegas? Biggest gun massacre in U.S. history? But suddenly it disappeared off the radar because she'd had Islamic connections. We broke that first from the hostage rescue team sources. And then Laura went there and backed it up, and many others backed it up as well. And now they just hope you forget about it. Laura Loomer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Well, lay this out. You wrote it for Dangerous.com, where it first appeared. It's also on Infowars.com. You were kind enough to let us post it, and so was the great Milo Yiannopoulos. But roll through this amazing information.
Right. It's also on my website, lauraloomer.us, if you want to read it. But basically, about a week and a half ago or so, there was a document dump. The court in Las Vegas, a judge in Vegas, ordered the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department to release documents and evidence pertaining to the Las Vegas shooting that Sheriff Lombardo and the LVMPD has been fighting to not release to the American public. Well, turns out, I've been going through the 2,000 pages, and you have to manually read them because they made it so that you can't do optimal keyword searches on them. They kind of distorted the background of the documents with this granular background. And I've been finding these insane, shocking witness statements, police statements, and things that they should have told us in the immediate aftermath of the Las Vegas shooting that is been kept secret, right? Or just withheld from the public to cover up the true motive behind the Vegas shooting, which is starting to look like terrorism more and more every single day. A few days ago, I released a story about how one of the documents in the dispatch logs, this is an official Las Vegas police officer document. It says that when they entered the room, it said that the unit was under control, room 32135, where Stephen Paddock was supposedly shooting. And it says that there were three women in the room, and you can zoom in on the document. This isn't speculation. This isn't conspiracy. This isn't some wild accusation. You can look and see for yourself the copy, the screenshot of the document that came out of the dispatch logs from LVMPD, and you can see that they're still trying to obscure the important information. They have removed the identities of the women, and you can see that it says three women right there for your own eyes, right? And then it refers to these women as number one, number two, and number three. If you go back to the document, they have redacted the names of the three women. So obviously, Sheriff Lombardo, just like I said when I was doing exclusive reports for InfoWars back in October, Sheriff Lombardo and the FBI in Las Vegas under Agent Rouse, they lied to the American people. They lied to the world about Stephen Paddock being alone in that room the night of October 1st. And they also lied.
Let me stop you right there. I should have been more sensational. Because I always just come in and we announce huge information like it's no big deal, or like the weather report. Exactly. In fact, we should go back and get those press conferences where they lied, and we now know lied and contradicted themselves over and over again, because that's what we're talking about here.
Well, not only that, but if you recall, I believe I was on with Owen Schroyer the week that the shooting happened. Sheriff Lombardo banned me. He had me physically removed from the Las Vegas press conference. And then when I returned the next day to cover the next press conference, he had armed security preventing me from going inside because I exposed him as a liar for the liar he really is on live TV. And he was forced to then change the official timeline. You know, what's also very concerning about these documents, if you look at that same screenshot you just had up on the screen right there, you'll see that the official date is September 25th and with a checkout date of October 2nd. So if you recall, the whole point of me going to the Vegas press conference was because I exclusively obtained room service receipts from sources inside Mandalay Bay that showed that Stephen Paddock checked in on the 25th, not the 28th of September, like Lombardo and the FBI originally told the public the first in the first press conference they had the first day of the shooting. So the documents not only show that Lombardo's a liar, but it vindicates me in my reporting. And all of these outlets called me a conspiracy theorist. They said that InfoWars was a conspiracy theorist site. Simply because I had the balls and no other journalist did to confront Lombardo on live TV, right? And I exposed him. And now he's running for re-election and he has an election coming up on the 12th. And who knows, maybe he won't win because now people are starting to realize that Laura Loomer was right. Alex Jones was right. All these people were right about Sheriff Lombardo being a corrupt, lying, operative in Vegas.
And again, I'm glad you've launched a website. I know you're really big on Twitter and places, but let's go through everywhere people can find your investigative journalism. We post your stories at InfoWars.com periodically, but what is your website again? So we can put that on screen for folks.
My website is lauraloomer.us, and it's going to include some more features in the next week or two. I'm updating my website as we speak, but you can go to my website and you can see my articles. I break a lot of stories, and Milo also covers my reporting on his website, dangerous.com. And today the story was so sensational. I broke another story today about how an Uber driver told police that Stephen Paddock told them that there was going to be a terrorist attack at the Mandalay Bay. And they covered this up. I mean, you can see this story and the last story, it crashed Milo's website. We're talking about Milo Yiannopoulos, who has millions of followers. I mean, he's sensational. One of the most well-known conservative, individuals on this planet. And his website crashed twice because of the articles I released, because people are dying to find out what happened in Vegas. People want to know what happened that night that is now the worst mass shooting in U.S. history, because the mainstream media has completely swept it under the rug. And the local media in Vegas is being totally complicit in this full-blown cover-up because they don't want to lose access to their sources within the FBI. And
let's be clear. They demonized InfoWars. They demonized me. They demonize you. They demonize everybody because we're not controllable and we'll go where the truth is, no matter where it was. But let me tell you, I was able to see secret video out of Florida that was brought to me with lawyers and the individuals here and flying them here and everything. And I was shown video. And I cannot say what the video is. I will just say that it was Paddock's brother. And it was all the things he said. that dialed in everything we knew, and I can't tell you because then they decided that I couldn't use it or I didn't have the money to pay for it, whatever. I'm just saying we know a lot more that people don't know, but it's come out from our sources in the FBI and then Zach and the Army that we had the two different Islamic groups there. They were fighting inside Saudi Arabia. There was a civil war going on then. The Trump-supported side has come out on top, that they were having a big convention with tens of thousands of people there, and that they used going in to meet with Paddock in a gun deal, which he was a gun dealer. He'd done gun deals in the Middle East, probably Fast and Furious, to kill him and then do this terror attack as some type of message to Trump. But because the hostage rescue team and you and many others exposed what was really happening, they had to drop it as an anti-gun deal because it got exposed as Islamic, and that's a third rail of the liberals to cover up Islamic terror. From your research, Laura, how accurate is that statement?
Well, look, there's a lot of information pertaining to this idea of the Saudis, but really my focus is on ISIS. And I can't reveal who my sources are, obviously, but I'm in touch with people.
Well, sure, what about ISIS groups from out of Saudi Arabia using the big Saudi meeting as the cover to get there?
Well, my focus really isn't so much on that, Alex. My focus really is on the fact that ISIS warned that they were going to attack Las Vegas, and not only did they attack Las Vegas, but this is now being covered up, and ISIS continued to claim responsibility. And if you read my story that came out today that's at the top of my Twitter feed, you will see how and why the FBI is trying to cover up the fact that this was most likely an act of what's looking like Islamic terrorism.
Okay, so this one article we're covering from a few days ago confirming they lied about all the women inside his condo, inside the apartment, inside the hotel, and then more coming out. We'll go to your Twitter feed and pull up the latest article. Give us the headline on that and then go over it.
Right. So in the last article, the one that you were just referring to, actually, another piece of information that I had released was that the night of the shooting, there was a detective on dispatch in the dispatch LVMPD logs that said that Mary Lou Danley had a follower on Facebook who was tied to her daughter, who was posting Islamic State propaganda and videos of ISIS beheadings in Arabic, right? And as you know, I and a few others, along with Shepard and Bellis of IntelliHub, we were the first to report that Mary Lou Danley deleted her Facebook page the night of the Las Vegas shooting. But the mainstream media, because they just want to ignore the truth, they reported the same information in January when police documents that were released by court order came out and showed it. So people would be wise to just listen to the people like me and you and the independent media because we're months ahead of the news. And, you know, this is a huge lead because, if you read my article today, the Uber driver said that when she picked Stephen Paddock up in the Uber and dropped him off at Mandalay Bay, he was with a woman who could possibly be Mary Lou Danley, and they were talking about how there was going to be a terrorist attack at Mandalay Bay.
This is huge. You've got other witnesses on record saying, get out of here, you'll all be dead in 45 minutes, that had darker skin women. They said Hispanic, but it looks like it was these Filipino women, which we know have been used consistently for cutouts into those groups. And then you've got this confirmed, and you've got other witnesses saying it, and now they're telling folks in.
If you listen to that pretty carefully, you'll notice that there was a difference, a slight difference, I would say, between the information and sources that Alex Jones has about the massacre. He's relying on information provided him over a period of time from Zach. And Zach is Army intelligence, and Zach is saying that there was a civil war that took place and spilled over into the Las Vegas between the two factions in Saudi Arabia. Well, and it resulted in this massacre happening. And they were after the prince, you could say, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince. Now, what's interesting about this today is the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, is missing in Saudi Arabia. And there's rumors and there's press behind some of this that on April 21st, one of the royal residences was raided, and palaces, royal palaces, and there was firing going on at the palace from the outside, and the crown prince was a fatality. We don't know for sure. We're getting pictures put up by the Saudi government. They're saying that he's still alive and so forth, but we don't really know for sure
And it's just hit and miss right now as far as and what is going on. This next clip is discussing the cost of this investigation by Mueller. Right now, the best that they can estimate and the information that they're receiving is that it's costing about $17 million at this time. And so we have an interview that occurred this morning, in fact, on Fox Friends. And there's an attorney out of Georgetown Law School that is commenting on this quite a bit. Bognino is coming in also too. He's a former Secret Service man. And so they're both complaining about the high cost of this, investigation. And it's worthless. It's a worthless investigation, according to some of the talk this morning on Fox and Friends. And here we go. See what you think about this.
Former CIA Director John Brennan furthering his attacks on President Trump.
I think Mr. Trump has demonstrated a paranoia and insecurity, as well as a real concern about the investigation that is underway.
$17 million is a really huge amount, but the greater cost to the public is that we paid all this money and we don't find out the truth, that we're not going to get what we paid for. And so
right.
I think the test is going to be, both in the FBI investigation and the Mueller investigation, is will we be able to see the facts? Because the prohibitive cost in all of this would be lingering doubts.
That was Jonathan Turley last night on Tucker's show. Here to react, we're going to bring in Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent, former NYPD officer, and host of the Dan Bongino Show, also an NRA TV contributor. Dan, thanks for being here.
Good morning.
So $17 million, the DOJ has now revealed their spending report. Are we getting a good return on our investment for that $17 million of taxpayer money?
What, Pete, what is this, the comedy hour?
It might
are you
be.
Trying to change careers on me? Are this $17 million? Well, are we getting our money's worth? We are getting worked with a capital W. When I grew up in New York City in the streets of Queens there, that was you're getting worked. You are getting screwed so badly, the American people, by this sham investigation. I've never seen anything like it. Let me walk you through just a second for a couple of things around this, right? The case was founded on a total sham. We now know that there is Russian collusion with the Clintons and the Democrats, but Bob Mueller's investigating Donald Trump for it, number one. Pete, number two, the Mueller probe team is stacked with anti-Trumpers, two of whom are lawyers. This is a fact, by the way. I encourage anyone to look this up, who actually represented people beforehand in the Clinton sphere. They represented Clintonians involved in the case. This is a total scam. Everybody's getting worked.
Mm. Where's the money going? Is it paying salaries? I mean,
where is it going and where does it end?
Maybe for anti-Trump bonuses. Maybe they come in and throw darts at a Trump dartboard every day and get $100 every time they hit a bullseye. I mean, I have no idea, but that's a perfectly fair question for you to ask. What are we paying for? We're paying for a 1001 charge on George Papadopoulos for fibbing to the FBI? I mean, this is what we paid $17 million for and shut the country down for, what, almost 2 years now?
Well, Dan.
I mean, listen, obviously I'm passionate about it, but this is really upsetting. I was a federal agent, and this is a serious thing to have the power to take away someone's freedom, and where the American taxpayer, me included, is paying for a total sham.
Well, Dan, I'm glad you mentioned George Papadopoulos. We've been told sort of the official version of events is that this whole investigation started when he was having drinks in London and some drunken conversation about potential Russian collusion, when in fact John Brennan and others are now under the microscope as to whether they were starting this much sooner. And John Brennan, as you know, wrote this op-ed yesterday in the Washington Post saying, "I will speak out until integrity returns to the White House." Here's what he said on Morning Joe, and then I'll get your react.
I think Mr. Trump has demonstrated a paranoia and insecurity, as well as a real concern about the investigation that is underway. certainly his tweets do not seem like they're coming from a person of innocence and confidence. Mr. Trump is going to promote his narrative. He certainly is going to continue to try to discredit the FBI and the CIA and others. But I think, make no mistake about it, the American justice system, I think, is going to prevail in this endeavor to get to the bottom of who might have been collaborating and working with foreign actors to try to undermine the integrity of the election.
Dan, a lecture on justice from John Brennan.
John Brennan, no single figure in American history has done more to discredit the intelligence community than this liar. He's not only is he a liar, he's a liar about being a liar. He's been, guys, he's already busted lying. He said he didn't know about the dossier, yet he briefed people up on the Hill about elements of the dossier that then appeared in a letter to the FBI. He's lying. He's just making this up. And one more thing, by the way. He keeps avoiding this topic about foreign intelligence and his relationship with him. He's the one who met with British intelligence people. This is open reporting. It's already out there at what they call director-level meetings and exchanged information about Trump before this case was even started by the FBI. Hey, John, why don't you tell us about that? He keeps avoiding that topic and switching it to Trump.
All right. Dan Bongino, we appreciate you coming in.
Dan, appreciate it.
Always fired up. Good to see you, Dan. Nice. Have a
Thank
good
you.
Weekend.
Good to see you, too.
All right. Bring you some other headlines now coming into our newsroom. A highly anticipated report on the FBI's handling of the Clinton email investigation is hit with a new delay. The Senate Judiciary Committee pushing its hearing with Inspector General hearing Michael Horowitz to June 11th as we await for the release of his report. Many expected to report the report to already be released. Byron York, columnist with the Washington Examiner, explains the holdup.
It is clearly being held up by redactions, by privacy concerns, and by, frankly, I think by feet being dragged at various places in the bureaucracy.
Well, now we're being told Horowitz's report may be released next week.
This next commentary and news item comes from Blackstone Intelligence. And wanted to put this up tonight to give you sort of an overall view of the deep state and, you know, the military industrial complex by a gentleman that heads up that Blackstone that can give us some really important ideas about what we're up against or what Trump is up against. He has said in the past, though, at one time, the Rothschilds had bailed Trump out on some bad business, a bad business situation with the casinos and so forth. But I've heard opposing stories that Merv Griffin came in there. But Resorts International figured in to part of the story of Trump's casino dealings. And so he may feel obligated, if the Rothschild story is correct, that Trump feels obligated at this time to the Zionist Jewish interest. And so, but he's a mixed bag. This is why they still after him trying to get rid of him, is that he'll come in and just this week sign executive orders that go against the big pharma, you know, and provide alternative treatment for cancer and other diseases. And this is where Trump is really mystifying in a way. He has been helped in the past by some very, very big interests, whether they're Jewish or moneyed interest in London, or especially, I believe now, I think some of his banking interests have the Dutch bank. But when you go back and look at the Dutch bank's history in the last few years through this milieu of financial ruin, they've got a really checkered past. And so they're not well thought of in my book as far as, so they're just in there. And also, you know, all these big banks have cheated or gone way outside the law at times to continue to exist, and even in some cases some of these banks have murdered people to keep them quiet. So this is what we're up against. We're up against the money power of the City of London and other money centers, New York and Frankfurt and so forth. Tokyo, now Beijing, is becoming a money center. And Singapore has always been a big money center too in the Far East. And so could be that's one reason why they're holding this summit with North Korea down there. I think after Trump canceled it, the president came back, North Korea, and began to talk in very conciliatory terms. And so, you know, and what we've got John Bolton out there putting in, you know, his 2 cents worth as a very, very hard line. But in this case, it has been working, like good cop, good detective, bad detective. And so Bolton could be the bad detective and Trump the good detective, see. And so they could be playing, you know, North Korea on terms like that. So, it's hard to figure, exactly, what's going on all the time over there. Okay. But anyway, I want to, play this Blackstone intelligence, you know, what he thinks about, say, the CFR and the overall deep state and so forth. He has some good overall views here in his statements. Listen to this a second then.
I want to start by giving you a general definition of what the deep state really is. You're going to hear different opinions on this depending on who you talk to, but here's my own assessment. Really, we need to define two key terms, the deep state and the shadow government. When we talk about the deep state, what we're really talking about is a criminal organization. And when we talk about the shadow government, we're talking about those powerful people who operate that deep state criminal organization, okay? The shadow government, which is also called a cryptocracy, it's a group of powerful people who have so much influence over the policies of the United States that they, in essence, constitute their very own secret government, a government that is functioning behind the scenes, out of sight of the business of what our legitimate government is doing. And these powerful people are alluded to by different labels. Some people call them globalists, the New World Order, the Rothschild Mafia, the Illuminati, and so forth. And really, there are very nuanced differences between those different terms. The terms get misused all the time. But some of these people are politicians. Some of them are bankers. Some of these shadow government operatives are bosses of multinational corporations. Some of them are just simply very rich elitists whose wealth gives them an immense amount of influence. So someone like George Soros, for example. Well, these people include men. It includes women, mostly men, but there are some women. They come from all different political parties and ideologies. Some of them are Marxist. Some are fascist. Some are corporatist. Some are Zionist. Some of these people are U.S. citizens and some aren't. Some of the names are well known to the public, but really most of them are not. Many of the names are not well known. But what unites all of these people is that they are all, each and every one of them, evil sociopaths. These are people who have insatiable lust for wealth and for power. And the way that they go about obtaining power and wealth is through the mechanism of what we call the deep state. The deep state is the organization and its various bureaucracies. Think of the deep state almost like a corporation. The various departments of a corporation, they all function together, but each individual department has its own goals. They do their own things. So, for example, the marketing department, what they do is going to be different from what the engineering department does, what the sales department does. But while each individual department has its own department goals, and they do different things, the fact is that all of their work combines together to accomplish the overall goals of the corporation, right? Well, that is very much how the deep state operates. It's got all these different components that make up the organization. So it has, for example, the U.S. State Department and its vast bureaucracies. You've got the non-governmental roundtables, the think tanks, such as the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. These things that craft the foreign policies for the State Department to implement. Then there's the military-industrial complex, which is basically just the war-for-profit industry. This is what outgoing President Dwight Eisenhower tried to warn us about. Then there are other powerful groups. There are multinational corporations such as oil and energy giants. We have the military and intelligence communities that are definitely the backbone of the deep state. And then, of course, we've got all of the central and Wall Street investment bankers, or the banks themselves, the institutions. Now, all of these various components, they each have their own individual goals. They're all working for what's good for them. But the powerful players that make up the shadow government, they take the heads or the key figures in these various organizations, and they secretly work together for mutual gain. They work outside of the law to achieve what they cannot achieve within the law. And that is what makes them criminal organizations. Now, here's how the shadow government operates. Let's say, for example, we use the example of Syria. So let's say that a group of Rothschild-linked corporations and banks, they want to be able to build a pipeline and, you know, some kind of gas pipeline, oil pipeline through Syria. But the Syrian government says no. What happens is that the New World Order Policy Development Group, which is the Council on Foreign Relations, they write up some policies that would benefit that Rothschild network if America were to implement them. And the purpose of these policies is to coerce Syria into relenting. So this could be, for example, something like placing harsh economic sanctions on Syria to cripple them economically and make the cost of resisting the Rothschilds a much heavier toll than if Syria were to just give in to their demands and give them what they want, let them build that pipeline. So we've got the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR. They write the policies, and those policies are then adopted by the U.S. State Department. The CFR is not a government agency, but it is so intertwined that it's almost inseparable. In fact, many, 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 hundreds and hundreds of CFR members are in key positions in the State Department. Almost all of our secretaries of state since the 1900s have been members of the CFR.
We'll be finishing up this last part of this last hour with an interview of Alex Jones, Roger Stone, by Alex Jones, and a tit-tat back and forth about a lot of different subjects. And this scandal now is going after some of the chief people who've uncovered it. And there's speculation by Jerome Corsi that Hannity is the first next victim to take down. Because Sean Hannity had been hammering away at the deep state and so forth and uncovering much of what's been going on under the underground against Trump. But anyway, listen to this. This is a very, very interesting tit and tat between Alex and Roger Stone. Very, very interesting. So listen carefully.
Roger's got his ear to the ground on this. You saw the Dinesh D'Souza pardon, genius. It's not of a convicted coke dealer or weapons trafficker. So that's why the media is upset. So much to cover. Trey Gowdy's now being outed as basically working for the deep state to shield the FBI and Justice Department. So it's all happening. And it's such a big deal to see this unfolding. It's a real celebration because I think you can mark the last few weeks as the breaking of the deep state's back. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to savagely try to tear the heads off of the low-hanging fruit because they can't get at POTUS. He's broken through their mind control. He's broken through all their demonization and control. He's broken through them trying to attack anybody that supports him. And in their rage, anybody like Stone or myself have been chosen for destruction. So I'm just saying, I want to keep going in the fight. We are beginning to win, but the battle is raging. 2018 is everything. Now, unprecedented Trump aims to defy midterm campaign history. The Democrats are panicking even in their fake polls. The Republicans are neck and neck or ahead, which means they're 10 points ahead, which means only massive election fraud can stop us now. We're removing the neocons. We're removing the leftist scum. We are turbocharging. It will not be the communist Chinese century. It will be the new American century and not the one Dick Cheney talked about. This is winning. Stone, I can feel it. What do you want to tackle first?
Well, Alex, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, it takes an ocean liner a substantial amount of time to turn, but the president is now finally on offense, and I think a majority of Americans now realize that Mueller is the criminal, Comey is the criminal, Brennan is a criminal, McCabe is a criminal, and these people must be brought to justice. That the Washington Post prints an op-ed from the psychopath criminal John Brennan, a traitor, and the man who I believe is the perpetrator of the phony dossier, who lied about it under oath in front of the Congress, the folks at the Washington Post should really be ashamed of themselves. But you're right. The forces of freedom are on the move. Rudy Giuliani is exactly the wartime conciliary the president needed. And I believe when the Inspector General's report is finally rendered, Jeff Sessions is going to get his walking papers, the single worst attorney general in U.S. history.
And they've signaled the whole deal. Giuliani goes, oh, we're not getting rid of him yet. The AG report comes out. We'll see. And then torpedoes away. They're all gone and lavish indictments. But as the wolf says in Pulp Fiction, let's not start celebrating yet. How could the enemy grab victory from the jaws of defeat?
Well, they're trying even as we speak. This morning, I believe that as many as two of my former associates were in front of a grand jury in Washington, D.C., where they are being pressured into bearing false witness against me as the special prosecutor comes up with no evidence of Russian collusion, no evidence of trafficking in allegedly hacked emails with WikiLeaks, no evidence of advanced knowledge of John Podesta's emails being published. So now they seek to concoct some other phony offense in an attempt to squeeze me into testifying against the president. In other words, they want me to be a rat. They want me to perjure myself to help bring down the president. That is not going to happen. Zero chance. And I would remind anyone who's headed to the grand jury, perjury before the grand jury is a crime. Tell the truth. I urge everyone to simply tell the truth.
You were all over the news last night and this morning going, it's dangerous that the president, old 45, old reliable, did this pardon for D'Souza because he could do it for Stone or others. He could do it for Cohen. I mean, hey, that's executive power to balance out the out-of-control courts, the out-of-control Congress. That's why the president has that, guys. And so they're just beside themselves that he's actually now beginning, as you said, to go on offense. I just sense victory. I just sense it. Oh, my God.
Well, let's be clear. No one deserves a pardon more than that great patriot, General Mike Flynn. His entire indictment is a fraud. The FBI themselves conceded that he hadn't lied. This is a vendetta left over from the Obama administration. I believe Mike Flynn is not only a great patriot, but a man whose greatest public service to this country lies ahead of him, not behind him. If there is one person who deserves a pardon more than any other, and by the way, the president can issue a pardon at any time, prior to conviction, prior to indictment, after conviction, after a guilty plea, at any time, the president can issue a pardon. We learned that in the Ford pardon of Richard Nixon.
Do you remember about a year ago, I said, next time you talk to 45, I said, you got to bring up D'Souza? And I'm not saying we did that. I know we did, and we're credited with the Sheriff Arpaio, because he didn't even know that had happened with that judge, the judge herself convicting him. And I'm just going from memory, but didn't you bring it up to the president about D'Souza?
I have suggested that, although it was some time ago. So either he retained it, or perhaps someone more recently recommended it to him. But this is an extraordinary miscarriage of justice. Dinesh D'Souza violated a federal campaign finance law. Roseanne Barr has, pardon me, that's incorrect.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell has violated the exact same law.
No, but by millions. Yeah, exactly. We'll be right back. All right, back to Roger Stone. And then coming up, Nick Baggage is host of the fourth hour. We're trying to get Katie Hopkins on. So they'll be on next week from Russia. Mike Rotondo, the 30-year-old that got evicted out of his parents' house. I love taking control of the news cycle. Some of the listeners are like, why would you give that bum $3,000? So I wanted to see what he was like. And I wanted to point out that the welfare stuff he was doing off his parents was nothing compared to people getting sex changes paid for by taxpayers or abortions or all the anchor babies. And then now he's moved out of his house, and I got hundreds of news article headlines talking about how the left pays for sex changes with our tax money and for anchor babies, so don't say this guy's the biggest enemy in the world. So I took that and got, let's not exaggerate, because mainstream media is worthless. They would charge millions of dollars, millions and millions, to be on the front page of USA Today. Worthless crap. Hundreds of thousands for a full-page ad. I just do that stunt, and I'm in hundreds and hundreds of publications, Good Morning America everywhere, pointing out that they are funding anchor babies, they have everything free, and all this other crap. And then I've got conservatives going, Jones is an idiot funding that deadbeat. Okay, I got millions of dollars advertising for $3,000. Yeah, I'm real stupid. I'm real dumb. Why doesn't everybody else show me how it's all done? When I told you Trump was going to win, I told you 5G give you cancer. I mean, I'm not bragging. It's all right here anyways. We're telling the truth. The globalists know the truth. They use it against you. We're showing you the hat trick. We're showing you the how there's a table, and you think he's getting a rabbit out of the empty hat. There's a door opening in the table, and there's a rabbit under there. And there's a hot blonde assistant under there, too, doing my toenails. And the point is that he's reaching down into it, and he's getting a rabbit out of that. Then the trap closes, and he pulls it out. It's that simple. We had rain coming into the car. Trump's closing the sunroof. He's untying the boat. Now, Roger is going to not be here next week, but the week after. That's when we're going to do a Friday 24-hour broadcast or a long broadcast. Then we're going to come back on Saturday and go to midnight and then come back Sunday. So it's going to be 3 days of expanded transmissions to just chronicle the incredible history and time we're in. But here's the thing. People like why, ask why I'm such a maniac sometimes. When you unlock areas in you where you decide to not be afraid, and when you decide to take action and you have victory, but then the enemy turns up the heat, your brain begins to flip the switches for you to be very aggressive, very smart, very decisive, very on target. And for all these other men that act like they're strong or just want money, women aren't looking for that. People are looking for daredeviling. They're looking for trailblazing. They're looking for real strength. And I'm 100%, I'm the biggest, baddest guy around the world. I'm just saying, when it comes to blowing holes in enemy operations, really trying to promote freedom. You know, Trump's up there. InfoWars is down here. You got Roger Stone, Drudge, all these other great trailblazers. We're in this special college together. We're in this brotherhood, this sisterhood. But I'll tell the listeners, don't thank me. You are the blood of this operation. Without you, there's nothing. So when I say I salute you, when I say I thank you, I run into these families, they're just in awe when they meet me. People, it's like, you're in awe of me? I'm just a red-blooded American like you. You love what we're doing. You're supporting us. You get your family attacking you. You get fired for saying you love America. You get fired for being pro-gun. You get harassed. I know real liberals at UT. One guy I know has been a big film editor and also produced a pretty big movie. She said he didn't like Hollywood anymore. Even though he's making $1 million a year, he came back. He's going to be a psychologist. His dad's a famous medical doctor, one of the top kidney doctors in the world. And I've known him since college. And he's Jewish. And I'm not going to say his name. He's a good friend of mine since college. And he's really classy. He's a classical liberal. He just loves everybody. He's nice and smart. They kicked him out of the psychology department and said, no whites allowed. And they're on record saying, and we don't want Jews in here either. That's UT. The political correctness has gone to cuckoo land, folks. It's crazy. And the globalists and the communist Chinese funding it have a plan. UT is run by the Chinese communists. That's in the news now. So I'm going back to Roger Stone in this segment. The next, the point is that the left has gone completely insane. Everybody's going to get persecuted unless we stand up to this and say no. And it's now time. You better do it. You better decide which side you're on. Plus, we're turning the tide. Now, people like me and Roger might get drilled in the ground, but it doesn't matter. We are still fighting. But if you pray for us, if you financially support us, we will absolutely rip holes in them because they're attacking us. We're in the spotlight. So every dollar you support us with is like $1 million in regular political warfare. I mean, you cannot deliver munitions to the front where soldiers are killing more of the enemy politically. I mean, you give us weapons, we are the kamikaze pilots. We are the daredevils. We are flying the Death Star trench. We've already blown up Death Stars. We've already blown up. On the side of our helmets is Death Stars. You understand that? That's why they hate us. We've already aced their head. We've already blown them. The enemy snipers have pictures of us on their sleeves. They're looking for us. Where are they? Get them, get them. There's bounties out. There's a $15 million political bounty from Soros out on me. He's already spent $15 million, I've confirmed. Yeah, I know. I'm proud to be in this position. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com. Free shipping right now on all our best-selling supplements. 50% off Brainforce that Roger loves. Just go in there and spend money and get T-shirts and sign up for AutoShip to get the great coffee or get the Secret 12 or stuff you're going to want to reorder every 15, 30, 60 days. Cancel anytime. It's free to cancel. Patriot points. InfoWarsStore.com. If you're not investing in information warfare using the truth, you're crazy. Roger, I'm ranting. Only 4 minutes left in this segment, but StoneColdTruth.com. You have your legal defense. People should support. They should buy your book at InfoWarsStore.com. Stone's Rules. They should understand that, you know, we are the champions. None of us are perfect, but we've been chosen now as figureheads of the left for us to be destroyed.
No, Alex, you're absolutely right. The two most important things I think people can do, go to stonedefensefund.com, make a contribution. Go to the donate button at the InfoWars store, make a contribution. $100, $200, $500, $10, it doesn't matter. But we need your support. I got a bill from my attorney this morning for $40,000 just for the motion to dismiss the harassment lawsuit filed against me by that Obama front organization in Washington, D.C. The whole purpose here, Alex, is to bankrupt you, bankrupt InfoWars, bankrupt me, bankrupt the Stone family. So StoneDefenseFund.com, InfoWarsStore.com, where the donate button can easily be found. You are the lifeblood of this revolution. We cannot soldier on without your support.
This is not a this is not a spectator sport. This is total participation. I'm not bitching at the audience. They've been great. They've supported us, the affiliates, everybody. But this is it. This is history. This is happening. Roger, from your sources, I have separate sources that said, no, Trump's pissed. The gloves are off. I've talked to a lot of other sources. They say that Trump is, these are criminals. Everybody knows there's criminals. You better indict their asses. And the word is they're closing in. So on this particular Death Star, this is the big one, how far until we get up to the exhaust port just below the main port? How long do we fire those photon torpedoes right down the shaft?
Well, I think there are two things to watch for. One is the coming Inspector General's report. I think that that's going to decapitate a number of people in the forefront of the deep state takedown of Donald Trump. Secondarily, keep an eye on the decision by Judge Ellis of Virginia regarding the Manafort indictment. And also keep an eye on this recent legal opinion by Professor Stephen Calabresi that Mark Levin and Sean Hannity have talked so extensively about that questions the entire unconstitutionality of Mr. Mueller's Barry appointment. Therefore, any action on his part would be unconstitutional. Those are the three things to watch carefully. Armageddon is just around the corner.
Armageddon for the deep state, because this is not your regular president in the swamp going along with corruption. He plans to pull the rotten teeth very soon, doesn't he?
It sure looks that way. I think his patience are really worn thin. He's tired of being a punching bag for the mainstream media. He's tired of the abuses. The real squeeze is on Donald Trump Jr. right now. Never mind Roger Stone and Alex Jones. Yeah, we're under the microscope, and that pressure's coming. But they're really trying to squeeze Donald Trump Jr., a great patriot, in my opinion. And that is the line that, if crossed, will mean nuclear war against Mr. Mueller.
But he can't help it. Mueller's so used to having America down with his boot on our neck, he just thinks he can't be defeated. That old rotten brain up there has no idea what he's about to go under. We will defeat you, you globalist trash. Roger, get back into Donald Trump Jr. They are honing in on him. I mean, I would say they've said you're the main target right now, but I agree why do you say he's the main target? I know they've really been going after him. They are just, their arrogance is just unbridled. They are so foolish.
Sources tell me that is their real primary focus, Donald Trump Jr. I want to address something you just said, Alex, which is things in Washington cannot be viewed in terms of Republican, Democrat. That's outmoded thinking. This is patriots versus globalists. This is outsiders versus insiders. The deep state conspiracy is a bipartisan criminal conspiracy. Party label means nothing. People send me Robert Mueller is a registered Republican. So what? He's committed crimes on behalf of the Clintons. His party registration is unimportant. Party labels mean nothing. Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, these guys are in bed with the deep state. Their party registration is immaterial. What we need is not a Republican majority. What we need is an American majority. And we're headed in that direction. So don't view things in terms of the parties. No, right now, even though all three branches of government are technically Republican, you have Republicans like Lindsey Graham suggesting that Robert Mueller cannot be fired. Lindsey, I know you can't read very well, but he's entirely fireable. He serves at the pleasure of the executive. And the idea that any one person is above the law is a repugnant.
Oh, they're even trying to imply Trump can't do pardons now. It's just pure BS.
No, but it's perfectly all right for Barack Obama to pardon drug dealers and other psychopaths.
And communist bombers.
Precisely. But when Donald Trump uses the pardon power to pardon, say, Jack Johnson, the black boxer, something that Barack Obama has done, I've urged the president to give a posthumous pardon for Marcus Garvey, who I think was harassed by the federal government. There would be an act of justice.
Absolutely. Well, let's expand on that. I mean, it's beyond just the fact that Trump can do this. He's doing it for good people that aren't drug dealers, that aren't arms dealers, that aren't sex traffickers. And Obama and Clinton all did that. And the media didn't even cover it. I mean, it's just outrageous how criminal these people are.
Well, and they criticized Trump today for not going through the normal pardon process of application being made and going through committees. Have they forgotten the Mark Rich pardon by Bill Clinton where money was paid to the Clinton
Foundation?
But again,
that's the bureaucracy paid to the foundation for the pardon. That's the bureaucracy taking control from the president. Sorry, go ahead.
So it's a perfect example of the double standard. No, we are in for an epic battle in the days and weeks ahead. And you're absolutely right. There comes a point where when I first learned that federal prosecutors were sifting through every molecule of my being, it upset me. Now all it's done is elevate my ability and my willingness to fight. I am ready to fight. This is an abomination. There is no evidence of Russian collusion or WikiLeaks hijinks. This is nonsense spurred on by the mainstream media. So let's get it on. I am so ready, but I need the support of the InfoWar audience.
That's right. All right. Great job, Roger. We're going to come back and get an update on the 30-year-old that got evicted from his parents' house.
It's getting to be where to analyze this, the scandal that are actually unfolding before our very eyes have entangled so many people. In other words, the corruption level in Washington, D.C. especially, was so at such a high level that it was incomprehensible almost by the average citizen. And even reporters that are caught up in reporting up there don't have the real facts about how corrupt it is. So as a result, no one is able to perceive and write and conceive of everything that is happening. It's so money driven now, and it's so financially driven now, and the scandals are ridiculously high in proportion to the money that is being stolen. They are actually, where in our paths of our history would they have ever allowed Obama, President Obama, to fly in a big cash load and as part of the payroll or payoff or return of their money or something to a foreign country? Who would have ever even contemplated that and let him get away with that. And also, there is some news about Hillary having some kind of an object. It could be some kind of a brace or something right below her neck. And I was thinking about that today. And what if for some reason she's had an involvement of that cancer down into her back and she's losing control of some of her upper skeletal, you know, systems there and muscles and nerve systems. Something like that might be going on, but Hillary to me is very ill looking. And, you know, she looks in very ill health, even though she is going out there and doing things. But, she's become a liability, for the Democrats, and they're just gonna have to drop her, you know. But she still goes out there and fundraising for her, you know, her bankrupt in a way, morally bankrupt foundation is what it is. We've got just so much going on such high levels. We've had the highest, officials whether the FBI or Department of Justice and, that have committed crimes. More so than, and cover ups and plotting and you talk about collusion. You talk about, plotting, to take people down, especially this Trump. Trump is actually coming back at him, see? And, then we had Roseanne Barr and what she said on, you know, her tweet the other day, and now they just closed down the whole program, you know. They'll do that sometimes if they don't like you. They don't care about the money sometimes. They'll just close you out of the business, and that basically, they blacklisted her, basically, with that. We've got Artel out there, that is making a fine report. Go into Twitter and, look up some of the stuff that he's doing. And Jerome Corsi, he has about an hour, lecture every day. He got entangled into QAnon and it was productive for a while. And then I think it has been taken over now. So it's becoming very divisive and the people are fighting. The people that have been tracking QAnon now are at each other's throats. So maybe, you know, that's what it ended up being, a tool to divide everybody and just to create chaos and hatred between different groups. That's the way these things are working today, is that they'll just start creating a tremendous division between people that are on really patriots on the same side, but there might be some that gathered in or came in from the left and some people that came in from the hard right and started working together. But they don't want that. They don't want that. So why don't we bring back 9/11 truth, you know? That's what they're using to promulgate all these wars in Afghanistan and all that. I mean, that's really what we've got to get back to try to solve some of these problems. Because the public is still hung up on 9/11 as being a truthful attack. In my opinion, it was not. It was contrived and put together by the deep state. And that's really where we fail to see the real inner workings of the Pearl Harbor effect of just leading people around and so forth. So if we don't ever get back to that and try to clean that up and get some truth in that, then the public in general is continually led around. They attacked us. They killed over 2,000 of our American citizens, you know, in New York City and destroyed our, you know, buildings and so forth. So, but I mean, George W. Bush and all those people were in office and it's just terrible people that did some of these inner workings, these inside type jobs. And it's just the public right now is very hateful, very divided, and it's really very difficult to talk to some of these people about anything. I mean, they're ready to go at your throat, you know, a lot of times. And it's just not a good situation. I want to thank everybody for listening out there, and God bless each and every one of you. Hopefully we'll work our way through this to a better, more comprehensive truth and love one another more, okay? So good night.